Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast. Macy here. I am the third Manning kid, and I am a daughter, a mom, and a wife. And I'm here today with my mom, and we are just really excited to talk to you about actually a specific question we got from a crazy cool parent. So, welcome, Mom. Thanks for letting me be on.
No, thanks for running the show. Yeah, Macy called the other day and said, Mom, I've got this great question, and I think we should do a podcast on it. And I said, great. Give me a call. We'll record one. So here we are. You guys are going to love it. This is a question we get all the time. And we've got some super practical things to share with you on house cleaning, basically, yeah. Right, May? Systems, chores, you know, how to get your kids to work for you.
And I think it is really helpful just for parents who are listening to this podcast regularly. Like, if you do have questions, please send them to us. Because like you see from today, this is a question from a parent that I'm about to read, and we're going to answer it directly. So we have a lot of content out there. You have to go search it to sometimes find your answers, but you could also just email us and maybe you'll get a podcast out of it. So that's exactly what happened today for one of our crazy cool parents named John. He's a real person. I didn't just make up this name, but he has a family. He has 6 kids, ages 2 through 9. And he sent us this. He said, what's your advice about chores and rewards and allowance? Really struggling to get a workable chore plan. And he was just basically saying, like, they want to have follow through, but they don't want to be helicopter parents. They don't want to be on their kids all the time. And he just asked for any resources. So I went and looked through all of our crazy cool stuff. And I was like, actually, we don't have a specific conversation or resource on this topic. And so that's when I looped in my mom. And my dad is actually in Uganda right now in Africa. And so he's not going to be on today, but I'm sure he would say a lot of similar things to what my mom is going to say. And I'm going to try and chime in and give kind of like the kid perspective of like, oh yeah, this was awesome. Or, oh, this really, really fell apart quick. So we're just going to jump in. And we're excited that you are hopefully teeing up your family as you head into the spring and summer. We're hoping that you are just really dreaming about what your family systems and culture could look like as you finish out the school year. Maybe you have a kid graduating. Maybe you have all little kids in the house like our friend John. Or maybe you're just needing some fresh life in your family when it comes to cleaning house, rewarding your kids, giving them allowances, inviting them / telling them to do chores in your house. And so we're just going to get started with this first idea of work. And Mom, do you want to share a little bit about like the idea of this whole family culture, this house system is work and what that means for our kids? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the times we, as parents, we come to this parent-child relationship and we're all about the work, but remember, children, they're not wired to work. They're wired to play. Play is their work. And so a lot of the time kids have this attitude that I don't want to clean up. I mean, I remember my kids saying, I don't want to clean up. And I mean, and there's a part of me in the adult that's like, I don't either. I for sure don't want to clean up after your mess, but I actually don't even want to clean up after my mess. And so we've got to kind of rewire that thinking a little bit in our kids. We've got to help them understand that work is necessary. And we can do that a couple different ways. We can either just say, put our nose to the grindstone and make it happen. We're just going to work. We're going to work in the yard today, and we're all going to go out and do that. We're going to clean up the kitchen. We're going to clean out closets. We're going to paint the room. We're going to work, and that's what we're going to do. Or if we want to, as parents, we can, or as adults, I guess, parents, adults, we can join their world and we can make work fun. I mean, and I don't know if I'm just so used to doing it with my own kids for so much that I did it for so many years with them, but even to motivate me, I even to this day say, okay, let me see if I can get the dishwasher unloaded before this song is over, you know, just to motivate me to get through the work part as well. So just knowing that, that as adults, we're wired to work, but sometimes we don't think work is fun. Children are not wired to work and they only want to have fun. And so how can we basically convince them that work is necessary? It must be done. We have to work. It's biblical. It's good for us. It builds character. It builds value. It builds work ethic. It builds all the things that we need to be a, what I call a contributing member to society.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it can't not be fun. I mean, it can always be, everything we do can have an element of fun in it. It's our choice on how we create the fun within the project.
And I think another good point, kind of the reverse at this point, we talk a lot about getting into the, seeing it from the eyes of the child, getting into their world and seeing it from their perspective. Making a gigantic mess in the living room or playroom is fun. Getting out toys and playing with them for 2 minutes and then moving on. The like back end of that for a kid is really overwhelming sometimes. I can't put all the toys back in a bucket. I can't put the bucket back on the shelf, or I can't sweep the floor the way you want it done, Mom. It's like we have to remember to go into their world and see it from their perspective at every age, little, middles, or bigs, because there's a mindset that they're operating in. And then as the parent or as the adult, we get to call them higher and include them in our plan. But I think there's like a meet in the middle, you know, it's like, don't have for the sure. highest expectations that you're constantly nagging and disappointed, but don't do it all for them either. It's like, see it from their perspective and then call them higher.
Well, and I think that, I mean, I can relate to a child on so many levels. I think that I'm just a little girl deep inside, but when the whole family comes to town and they stay for a few days, then I have 10 beds that need to be changed. And I have, you know, all the trashers are full of diapers.
Every towel has been used.
Exactly. Every towel, you know, the pantry's empty and the refrigerator's full of, you know, leftovers I'm never going to eat. So all that to say is there's a bunch of tasks. And so even for me, I have to just think, okay, how am I going to conquer this? How am I going to go after this massive amount of work? And so your child's the same way. And maybe you're the same way too. How do you handle a giant task? I mean, one step at a time. What is it? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Yeah. You know, I mean, so that's the same thing. One step at a time. Today, right now, I'm going to just wash the towels and that's going to be my task all day today. Tomorrow will be the sheets and the next, I mean, and maybe I'll do the trash while the towels are going. And so the same thing with your children, to take it one project at a time. They go into the room, it's a disaster. And then you say, okay, the first thing we're going to do is what do you think we should do? I mean, what's the first thing we should do? I don't know, mommy, the clothes are everywhere. Great. Let's go after the clothes. You go after the pink ones and I'll go after the, you know, green ones. And so you turn that into a one step at a time project. And now you're partnering with your child. They're training them to take care of projects later in life. Yeah. You're having fun with them instead of it's like, go clean your room, go clean your room. Why haven't you cleaned your room? You haven't cleaned your room yet. What is wrong with you? You know, then we start berating them.
Yeah.
You can't live like this. This is a mess. God's a God of order, not a God of chaos. You know, you throw that one at them anyway. All the different things that we do to our children because we're not in their space understanding where they're coming from.
Yeah. I'm just going to read this because I feel like we put it in our outline and I feel like it sums up what we're trying to say. It says, the reality is the parent will clean up faster and better initially, but it's worth it to take the time and effort to include your kids in the cleanup for the present workload and for their future worth ethic. So I feel like that's kind of summing up this idea of like, hey, get on their level. If it's 8 o'clock at night and they just got home from practice and they're exhausted and they still have homework to do, now is not your time to start nagging them about their room. Now is your time to be the compassionate parent that comes in and says, hey, you work on spelling, I'm going to work on folding your clothes, and then we'll put them away together once you're done. You know, like get on their level and work together, but you're not doing it for them. You're building that work ethic, that future work ethic, but you're also loving them in the present moment. And I think there's a lot of things we could do a whole podcast just on the parents' perspective of this situation, but we want to get practical too. So yeah. I'm going to move in and ask some questions, Mom, and we'll just kind of rapid fire and kind of get through these ideas. So, okay, first thing we're going to talk about, which I don't know why this brings back such laughable memories for me, but just chore plans. What chore plans have y'all used What was things you liked? What were things you didn't like? And how did they kind of shake out? Just start with some examples of, like, when you think of the word chore plans, what are some
Okay.
things you implemented or tried to implement in our family growing up?
Yeah, and so we have like favorite ones or least favorite, but I'm going to start with the least favorite ones. And I'm going to talk about, do you remember Manning Money? Macy, do you remember that? That dad had printed out. It was our picture of the Mannings on this money. And
we should find that, but there's probably a picture of that somewhere.
Yeah. And so he did a great dad. I mean, so Don is system man. He is all about the systems. And he would say over and over, and you probably heard it on a podcast. I would just tell Suzanne, if she would just implement a system, that our house would run so much smoother. And I tell you what, guys, I could implement a system all day long. The implementing is not the hard part. I actually love that part, the creative part of it. It was the follow through. And that's what John even said in his sentence too, is that we've tried the follow
workable.
Through.
I need a workable chore plan that we're going to be able to follow through with. I'm like, that is so relatable.
So relatable, because you can't keep up with it anymore. It became, meaning the Manning Money, it had all these elaborate rules and all this stuff. And if you did this, you got paid this much. And then once you got paid, then you could cash it in for something else. And then we'd had to follow through on the cash in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. I mean, and so I remember one thing was super simple. We would put a cotton ball in a jar. I mean, super simple. Yeah. So that if you did your task and you put a cotton ball in a jar, and when the jar got totally full, so we were all working together as a family, then we would go do something fun as a family. But reality is, they were going to do the task no matter what, whether they got the cotton ball or not. And half the time they didn't remember the cotton ball. And so we'd sit there with a jar half empty, but the task had gotten done. And so it's like, So and then we had chore charts. Oh, so many different chore charts. You know, Macy, you do this, this, and this. Molly, you're going to do this, this, and this, Madeline. And we'd be so diligent for a good 3 days.
Yeah.
And we'd check off our, you know, once we did it and it was good. And that was a motivator, and we loved it. And then, I don't know.
On a trip, or we'd have friends over, or we'd have to get ready for a party and everyone would chip in. And it was just
life. Yeah, life happens. I mean, that's just what happens. Life happens, and the next thing you know, isn't working.
On the fridge,
always.
No one looks bad.
Yes, and so the system. And so, while I do think systems are good, for me, it had to be a much more general system. It had to be, you know what? I would say it had to be more of a rhythm than it had to be. So, for example, like our laundry, I pressed into the task. Pressed into each of our household tasks, but with laundry, I pressed into what I don't love about laundry. And I didn't like, I loved throwing it in the washer and the dryer. Oh my goodness, the washer and dryer, my best friend. I mean, they were on my team. They were helping me. They were doing work for me. I loved doing that. But on the back end of it, I hated sorting all the different laundry. I had four little girls. You want to know how many a little pair of panties that is? And they're all the same size. And so I had no idea. And they would come in, Mommy, these aren't mine. And I'm like, I have no idea whose those are, you know?
How do you know? They were your older sisters like a year ago. How do you know
they're yours? Exactly. I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, are these my panties? And I'm like, I don't know. Anyway. So what I did for my laundry system when I had a bunch of littles is they each did their own laundry. I think, did you and Mackenzie do yours together or no?
No.
Did y'all have a laundry basket?
We all had our own.
And so everybody, and they would, I mean, and we loosely had a day, you know, like let's say Macy's day was Tuesday. So she would bring her laundry down. And when she got big enough, she actually would put it in the washer and transfer it to the dryer. But yeah. I didn't ever mind doing that part, you know, washing, drying it. And then basically they'd have their laundry basket and I would put it in the room and they would put it away. And so I never had to do that part, which I actually became, you know, laundry became my favorite thing. Madeline, her system right now, she's got four littles.
Four under five.
Yeah. She does one load of laundry a day, and every piece of dirty clothes, she has her kids trained to just go put it directly in the washing machine. And so they take their pajamas off, they put it in the washing machine, they get a pair of clothes dirty, they put it in the washing machine. And then so she washes a load that night, washes and dries it, and puts it away first thing in the morning. So she's only got one load a day to do.
Yeah.
So that's a good system for her. So I don't know what your system is when it comes to laundry, but find the thing that you don't like.
Yeah.
And then figure out a way to make it so that that's not the hard part.
Yeah, that's good. And I think I think my mom kind of touched on this, but I just want to take the point home. For John specifically in this situation, it's like his two-year-old is probably not going to be able to live in this system that my mom just talked about quite yet. But what are the things that they can be training the two-year-old to do every time they're getting ready for him or her? I don't know what gender this baby is. Every time they're getting their baby ready for bed, it's they take the baby, they hold their hand, and they teach the baby, hey, this is where we put our laundry. It's in this laundry basket, you know? Or like every time they get there, they put their laundry away, the baby's involved in the sense of like, here's your drawers, here's your laundry. We put the laundry away, you know? And all the kids up, it's like, what are you doing to empower them? They are going to be a member of society that hopefully does laundry for the rest of their life. So how, maybe
they hired it and yay for them.
Yeah, I'm like, some reason we'll do it for them, but chances are probably not. So how are you developing their work ethic now and coming alongside them at the right age? Like, families would make fun of us in a good way. They'd laugh at us because we had our four-year-olds carrying their laundry baskets down to the washer, you know? And it was like, we had to, you know, we had two floors. We had to teach them early. Did it always go smoothly? No, but how can you come alongside your kids to develop that work ethic like we're talking about and get them involved from a young age? I think that's like pretty important to building a successful system.
Yeah. I mean, and so even on the back end of that, I remember before I had separated it into everybody's laundry, I would dump a giant load of laundry on the clean laundry on the floor. And I would say, okay, everybody find your clothes. Mm-hmm. I mean, one-year-olds can do that. They can find, they'd each have their own laundry basket and they would go in and they would find their clothes and they would put it in their basket. Okay, now take that to your room. And then parents, if you can set up a system so that your children can put their clothes away, whether it's you label, this is where the underwear grow, you know, and you teach them those words, or if they're little bitties, print out a little picture and, you know, underwear, t-shirt, you know, blue jean, whatever, and tape that onto their little drawer so then they know where it goes. You've created a long going system that you don't have to maintain, that you're going to empower and equip them to use. And that's one less thing you have to do as a parent.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from laundry. That's a good example. But what are some other systems or things, chore plans that we used or things that we use to kind of help get stuff done around the house?
One of the things I did that was that simplified our life was that every kid had a color. Macy's color was purple. Molly's was green, Michael's was blue, Kenzie's was pink.
Yeah, I actually had a little bit of a identity crisis the other day because I'm like, is my favorite color purple? Or has it just always been my color? Like I still buy a lot of, my sister just sent me some purple shoes and I'm like, everyone knows my color is purple, but do I actually like this color? I do. I decided I do, but I just was like,
well, babe, so I didn't assign you the color. You picked the color.
Can you imagine? That's a big decision for someone so tiny to mark you for the rest of
your life. How controlling I would be. No, your color's orange. I hate orange. It doesn't matter.
Had to pick. Like, there couldn't be two reds, you know? So I'm like, I had to pick. And anyways, I'm fine now.
I actually don't remember what Madeline's color was because Madeline's favorite color was green and so was Molly's.
And Madeline was orange. And McKinley was pink/red, depending on what we could find at the store. Michael was blue. And the little boys never really were involved in the system.
Because y'all were kind of, so, and this, the reason that we had this system was because mainly their schoolwork, like their folders and their things like that, because their backpack, their little lunch boxes, whatever, if it was laying around or if it was in the car, then I could see the color and say, Macy, your backpack's in the car. You know, Michael, go get your backpack versus, I mean, I could have learned it if it was all a pattern, but because it was all, everything was purple, then I knew, okay, anything that's purple, that's Macy's. So
that was a lot of times when we would go school supply shopping, it was so easy because you would just take your list and go find everything in your color. And then you would get a couple fun, like a patterned pencil bag that had purple in it, you know, or a patterned pencils or something that it was like, it was a lot simpler back then, but it was just like easy for us, even as kids, when we had to go pick different things, it was easier to narrow it down for us.
Yeah, to find the things. And so that was just a super simple what you do with a, you know, family of many. Another thing is I would assign big kids to help little kids. So whenever we had a task, you know, back to John and his two-year-old, go ahead and assign one of your 9, 8, you know, 7-year-old with that to that two-year-old so that they can help do the task that's set in front of them, whatever, cleanup. And so now what I call it is, I don't know what it's called, you know, you've got two teams. You've got the that the dependent and the independent team, you know, the helpers and the messers, if you will. And so you have to get as many parents, you've got to get as many of your kids on the helper team with you. And so they can help the unhelpers, if you will. Yeah, and so that's one of the things. Okay. Something else that I'd love to add is that your little kids actually love to clean. And so tap into that and have them join you. So give them a non-toxic cleaner and a rag and have them clean along beside you. I mean, you've got to drop your expectations substantially because they're not going to get anything done, but you're not trying to get stuff done in work. You're trying to teach them that cleaning's good, that cleaning's fun. And so
I remember we had like 5 dusters and you would just give us all dusters and be like, go dust the windows, go dust the mantles, anything you can find, dust the picture frames. And it was again, like the 3-year-old's going to maybe make more of a mess than a cleaning, but a 6-year-old, like they could be the world's best duster. You don't even know. You haven't even tried. And that could be something they work on for 5-10 minutes while you're working on something too, that could really help. Or spot mopping. You'd give us like a mop and you'd say, go find any spots on the floor and scrub them really good, you know, and we'd find all the little spots and you would still have to spot mop, but it was like, we were incorporated.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I would just remember saying all the time that it's, you know, if we all work together, you know, I've got that somewhere in the notes that if we all work together,
No, this is what you would say. This is exactly what you would say. It's ingrained in my brain. You'd say, Macy, if you work for 5 minutes and Madeline works for 5 minutes and everybody else, all the other siblings work for 5 minutes, that's like 45 minutes of work, or that's like 35, how many kids were in the house that day? If we add it all together. Yeah. So it's like, if mommy works for 45 minutes, I could get all this done. But if we all work together, I would only have to work for 5 minutes. And you'd set a 5-minute timer, or you'd put on a 5-minute song and you'd be like, let's all work together and get all this work done. And I'm like, that was genius. I'm like, I don't know where you learned that, but for whatever reason, that made me feel like I was on a team. It made me feel like the work was going to get done so much faster. We always cleaned for more than 5 minutes, 100%. One song ended, the next song started. We were still cleaning, but it was like that camaraderie totally worked for us. And then we started to get older and smarter and we were like, you're just wanting us to do your work. But it totally worked when we were like, you know, 4 through 10.
Well, remember that, you know, the saying, many hands make light work. And that's where it comes from. If we're all, you know, we can incrementally multiply our time if we all pull our weight and do our things. And so I would do that, or get to recruit everybody to do that. Another thing would be to make it fun for your little kids is to set a timer. Okay, I'm going to set a timer, or I'm going to set a stopwatch, just see how long it takes for us to gather all the trashes in the house. Everybody go, you know, and so they'd be running up the stairs. Okay, I've got my room. Okay, I've got the bathroom. I've got this room. And so they would all, and they'd all come down and we, you know, now the trash was done and, you know, stopwatch. It was done in less than a minute. Things like that, or like pulling weeds. I mean, nobody likes to pull weeds, but how many weeds can you pull in 1 minute? Okay, everybody go. And we'd set the timer. So use time for your side. So many times we use that timer on that microwave to get things done.
So many times. Yeah. So hopefully you're hearing some practicals in the midst of this, like idea of like include your kids. They love to clean. Change your thinking when it comes to like their perspective of cleaning or their reaction when you ask them to clean, and make it fun. Put music on, set a timer, like give them a goal, you know, those types of things. Include them in the ways you can. And then also just as far as the chores and the systems, like I would say another practical is like, don't be afraid to try something and maybe just even set a goal for your family. Like, hey, for the month of June, since we're all going to be home more, blah, 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 let's just try this system, you know, and let's work on it just for 1 month. And don't try and set some crazy goal for yourself that you can't attain. Just try something small and see if it could work when it comes to setting up chore systems. Yeah. Okay. Next question, Mom, is kind of back to like the mindset. But how did you get your kids to care about if the house was clean or not?
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a few things that comes to mind, and we've already mentioned it one, but God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. And I would say that to them all the time. that, and I would, you know, convince them, doesn't it make you feel crazy when you come in your room and it looks like this? You know, it makes me feel crazy when I walk in the house and there's a sink full of dishes and there's laundry everywhere. And so it makes my brain peaceful when everything's in order, and yours too. It makes you, convince them, it makes you do that too. And so, and then I said another thing too. Macy, I don't know if you remember this, but I would be like, before we go to bed, you need to make sure that your room's cleaned up, because if you get sick in the middle of the night, you're going to throw up all over your, you know, your toys or your animals. And so, I mean,
you need a pathway to the bathroom, you need a pathway to your door and a pathway to the bathroom. And I still do that as an adult. Anytime there's a stomach bug or we don't feel good, I'm like, you can't have that pillow there. You can't have those clothes on the floor. You need a clear pathway to the toilet. And you're just like, my husband's like, okay, I guess, you know?
I mean, and that, all that's doing is it's just making a real situation, a consequence, I guess, of your action to be brought to light, if you will. And so we just always made sure that the house was clean before we went to bed and before, you know, nap time. We would just have a couple times so that we just had a couple times set that we would make things were cleaned up, make sure they were cleaned up. So a certain time frame, but also the consequences of it. Why do you want it clean? And that's what, to answer that question, how did you get your kids to care about it? Well, why do you care about it? Well, because God cares about it, because your brain cares about it, because the consequences of something bad happening. If the house is on fire, you want to get out of the house. If you're going to be sick, you want to get out of, you know, and so all those different things. Another thing that I told them all the time was that your training to live with someone in the future, whether it is your roommate or your spouse, and they don't want to pick up your dirty underwear. That's what I would tell them. They don't want to see your dirty underwear laying on the ground. So you need to practice learning to pick that up right now. It's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. Well, and I had roommates in college and after college and stuff like that. And they would ask me, they were like, how do you keep up with it all? Like, how are you disciplined? How do you know, like, you have this like internal rhythm of knowing when to do your laundry, knowing when to put it away, all this stuff. And I was like, just been doing it for as long as I can remember. And it's valuable and it's peaceful to have my house clean. And so you're doing it for the future, back to that future work ethic. You're also doing it for the future fruit of your child being a cleanly and whole person. It's worth it to invest in them now. And it's worth it to teach them how to work as a team too, so when they maybe run their own household someday.
And there's one more little point I want to make about how to have them care. One of the things that we would do, like we would have small group at our house, or we would have friends over or family. And I would always, you know, want to present a clean house. Like I remember my mom growing up, she didn't keep a very clean house, but if someone was coming over, then she would kind of go into panic mode and run around and clean up everything. And so I very much inherited that from her. I mean, and along the way, teaching my kids that you want to, you know, you want to present, you want a clean and neat and tidy house. You don't want someone to walk into your, you don't want your friends to come over and them having to walk over your toys in your bedroom or over your clothes. You want them to have a clean place to be able to come and play. And so we would rally everybody. If somebody was coming over for dinner, we would rally everybody and we would put our things away and clean up and go the extra mile. And so that was another time that we all worked together to clean up, and how I got my children to care about, you know, if things were clean.
So all good. Okay, moving kind of into a similar vein, but different idea. How did you get us to actually clean up after ourselves? Like what were things? Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I mentioned this. And so let me just be super specific about this now. There were specific times in the day that we stopped everything and we shut down and we did clean up. And I would call it a reset. And one of the times was right before nap time. And so we'd have our morning, we'd play, we'd do all the things, we'd eat breakfast, we'd eat lunch, but 1 o'clock, one to three was nap time at our house. That was definitely a system I had in place. I am an introvert and I had to have the space away to reset, to get through the evening. And so for me, and I had to have the house neat and tidy. If not, if the house wasn't neat and tidy when we went into naps, then I would use the nap time to kind of reset it. And I think one of the reasons that I wanted it so neat and tidy was because I could control the mess. I couldn't control the children and get them all going different places, but I could control the mess. So we had specific times. So right before nap time, we would stop everything and we would clean up, straighten up the whole, you know, downstairs, our living space, if you will. And then right before bedtime, and it's the same thing. If I didn't have their help cleaning up, if I knew that the house was a mess and I had a sink full of dishes, then the first hour or two that the kids were in bed, I would spend my time cleaning up. And that's not, that wasn't, that doesn't, that's not fulfilling. That's not rejuvenating. That's not, for me, that wasn't what I wanted to spend my free time doing. I wanted to spend my time that I didn't have children and I didn't want to spend it cleaning up. And so I basically trained them to help me clean up. So a specific time.
Something I was going to add really quick too is there might be things, there might be hot spots in your house that need to be reset every day or multiple times a day. And then there might be places in your house that maybe could get touched once a week or even like once or twice a month. And so identifying those areas could be helpful too. So like the kitchen is a great example. Every night after dinner, we would help clean up. Everyone would do something, wipe down counters, sweep, load the dishwasher. I remember me and Madeline usually would be on dishwasher duty and she always would have to go to the bathroom right after dinner. And so I was stuck unloading and loading the dishwasher because Madeline was like going to the bathroom for 20 minutes while I was working on it. And so
it's like, she still does this to this day. And her husband's legit, like, okay, cool.
She would sit in the bathroom and just talk to us the whole time. Like, it's not like making it, but I just remember that, like, that was one of those hot spots every day, every meal kind of places we needed to contribute. Whereas the bathroom, maybe that's just wiped down once a week, twice a week, depending on your family, what you need. So I think that's helpful too, to remember like the time of day or week or month and what are the hot spots that you may need to focus on when you're building this idea of like everyone's contributing and helping in a given day or week or month.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that you said that. And so that's exactly right. Is we would, you know, work together and have specific times that we did that. And dinner time was one. Like if your kids give you pushback on when to, on cleaning up, one of the best things that you can do is you can put time into it and say, well, we always clean up before nap time. It's just what we do. And so now you're not having to argue with them about doing it anymore because you always do it. It becomes automatic. It's just what we do. It's dinner time. We clean up after dinner time. We all do together as a family. It's just what we do. And so that's one of the things that you want to put those stop gaps in place. Saturday, I had a friend growing up who Saturday morning, their family cleaned the house. They didn't, you know, have anybody help. They just, their parents worked all week. And so Saturday morning, so if we had a slumber party at her house, Saturday morning, we were given a scrub brush and we were sent to a room, the kitchen, the bathroom, whatever. And that's what we were going to do on Saturday morning, or we could go home. I mean, because we didn't live there. And so.
Well, and a lot of times there was like a reward too. So like Saturday mornings, I had friends who did that. Like they were like, yeah, you can spend in my house Friday night, but we're waking up and cleaning our house on Saturday, but my dad's gets its donuts. And so it was kind of like a, okay, well, reward, but work kind of thing.
Yes.
So
yes. And to do it together is fine. Yes. Yes, exactly. I love it.
Okay. Anything else you want to add for how did you get them to like own their own mess or clean up after themselves before we move on to our last question or topic?
Yeah, I just want to just say super, super quickly that to set your kids up for success on the front end of a big mess. And so let's say that they want to make tents in the living room. And your first response is no, because I don't want to clean that up. Then you can say, you know what? I don't want to make tents in the living room because I don't want to clean it up. It's a big mess. You get all the pillows and the blankets out. And I just don't have the time or the energy to clean that up. But I understand that you're a kid and you want to have fun. And I made tents when I was a kid and I loved it. So if you want to do that, then you clean it up. I think it's fun. I think you should, but you clean it up. Mom, will you help us? I don't know if I'm going to help you or not. We'll see how much you can get done, but your job is to clean it up. That goes with Play-Doh, Legos, painting, any mess that your kids want to make. Remember, their play is their work. It's building their childhood. We want that for them. And we don't want the fear of having to clean up a mess to stop them from playing. But we do want to teach them the responsibility of you mess it up, you clean it up. You know, that's you're not going to create more work for me because you want to do this. And so that's, you know, one of the things I would say.
I love that.
Yeah, and then I just wanted to share this one more thing. We had some friends that when their kids would leave their stuff laying around all over the place, their parents were so sick of it. And so they found this box, the community box. And, you know, after they'd gone to bed and cleaned up and the kids, whatever, they would put all the kids' things in the community box, and the kids had to earn it out of the community box. And so it basically, which that right there just teaches lifetime responsibility. If your child leaves something at the park or in the hallway at school or something like that, it's going to get taken or stolen. And so why not teach our kids in our own home what happens to their things when they don't take care of them, when they don't clean them up? And so they would get their, let's say they left their shoes out, their basketball shoes, and their parents would put them in the box, and they'd be like, oh no, my basketball shoes, I didn't put them away. You know, how do I get them out? Well, you can scrub the toilets. Okay, you know, I'm going to go scrub the toilets and I'm going to take it to practice. So that was just one of a clever way. I never could make it work, I think, because I had too many kids going in too many directions. And yeah.
Well, Madeline does this something too that's a little bit savage but kind of hilarious. If her kids are like refusing to clean up something, she'll say, okay, fine, if I'm gonna clean it up, then it's going in the trash. And they'll be like, no, not the trash. And she'll be like, okay, well, you need to be responsible for it. This is your thing. And so if you're going to get it out, you need to clean it up. If mommy has to clean it up, it's going in the trash. And she's like,
done it. I mean, she's like, the babies will call, yeah, yeah, mommy put my baby's over in the trash.
Like melt down. And they like are more diligent to clean up now because the fear of mother is inside of them. Which is just so funny. Like, you don't have to do it in a mean way. But I think it's I'm watching my sister's parent and like learning from my parents. Obviously, I'm like, it's okay to be a little bit extreme. It's okay to like grab your kids' attention and be like, this is the culture that we're setting. This is the person I'm raising you to be. And that's kind of where I want to land this podcast, Mom. I just want you to speak specifically into like the culture of our kitchen. I feel like growing up, the kitchen was a fun place. It was a safe space. But I feel like it was constantly a revolving door of messes, of people's stuff, of cooking, of baking, of having friends over, birthday parties. Like, it's just like, I can remember specifically our Highland Courthouse, like the Me house too. We stayed in, and just like so much life happening there, but it was never like a mess, a horrible mess. So will you just speak a little bit to like, how did you input the value of like dinner cleanup or just valuing being together in the kitchen? How do you make that valuable? That's Selah, by the way. She's contributing to this
she's
podcast.
She's joining us. Yeah,
yeah. She's saying, how did you do it? Yeah, yeah. That's what she's asking. So speak a little bit to the culture of like, that's kind of how I just wanted to end it, is like the culture of cleaning up and being a family and being a team. How'd you do it in the midst of all the life and any practicals or any mindsets that you had?
Yeah. And so when you talk about that too, I do think about y'all's, your childhood and your life in the court, the house that we had in Highland Court, and it had a giant island, kitchen island. And that is where so much life happened. Everybody would come in from school, and you know, school has its own stuff, backpacks and all the different things that come with school. And so you've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids bringing their stuff in, and they, I don't know what it is with children, but they just drop, it just lands wherever they stop, their stuff lands. And so now you've got this big pile of stuff that's just right there in the kitchen. And I mean, and so we would take a minute and we would do life right then, you know, is we do life in the car on the way there, but then, as, you know, right there, all the stuff in the kitchen, it's just this big mess. And we would just visit and we would talk and we would have a great time. And then we would just take space and say, okay, I need to get dinner ready. Everybody take your stuff to your space, you know, to your room or wherever we, you know, kept backpacks. Sometimes they hung in the laundry room. Sometimes they were in the entryway. It just depends on where we were, you know, whatever house it is. But take your stuff to your area. And then we would go into, so that was a one time period. And then we would go into, you know, preparing dinner mode. And so I would just kind of, you know, the song, "We're All in This Together." I think
the High School Musical one.
High School Musical, "We're All in This Together." You know what I mean? When the girls were young, that was when High School Musical was big. And so we would just incorporate like a song, "We're All in This Together, Hand in Hand." And so that's what I would say, if you were to boil it down to the culture of it all, I would try to incorporate as much of you guys as I could. And hear me on this. This was hard for me because I am an acts of service, introvert, internal processor person. I mean, I sound like I'm a, you know, I sound like I'm this, I don't even know, learning disabled person, but
like the old lady that lived in the shoe with all the children.
Yes. I had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Yeah. She spanked them all and sent them to bed. Yeah. That was, and so for me, I had to overcome all of that and incorporate the help. One, because there was too much to do. I couldn't possibly do it. I was going to kill myself. And so I think that the quality that I had that rose above that introvert, internal processor, acts of service person that would just kill myself doing it all was I was relational. And I wanted to hang out with you guys. I wanted you guys to do the things with me. And so that's what I would do is how can, what will it look like for us to do this together? And the number one, I don't know, I guess quality that I wanted, and I think Madeline, I mean, and you too, Macy, y'all brought it to the table was fun. It had to be fun. I mean, we had to laugh and it had to be fun because for children, and I'm going to start where I ended the podcast, for children, they do not get the concept of work. It's not wired in them. They are wired to play and their play is work. And so we can't, as parents, we can force them to work and we can make it miserable and they can be miserable. Therefore we will be miserable, or we can put our idea of work aside and join them in play by making work fun. And that's what I think I'd just like to leave this with is if you want your kids to help you with all the things, let me back up. Now, I don't want to say if you do want your children to help you, that is valuable for you and for them. To do that, to make it be the best that it can be, make it fun. Make it fun for them. Make it fun for you. If you're bogged down with all this work and you're not having any fun, then what can you do to rearrange it? What do you need? Do you need to listen to some fun music? Do you need to laugh more, you know, while you're doing it? What is it going to take for you to make it be fun? Because here's the deal. Kids want to be a part of something fun. And that's what you were saying, Macy, is that the kitchen was fun. It was fun to be in there. It was fun to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And there's like culture. I think there's like so much value. You talked about being relational. I think there's also culture. Like, what kind of parent do you want to be? Do you want to be the parent that's like constantly nagging your kids to do something? Or do you want to be the parent that like uses these opportunities to build culture and to build character into your kids? You know? And so I'm like, we said this was going to be super practical, but I feel like it's a lot more about the parent's mindset when it comes to your house, when it comes to how your kids help you, and just like be, challenge yourself and rethink those things a little bit. And from that place of a healthier whole mindset, then maybe you'll find some practicals of like, okay, I don't have to have a perfect chore system. Those don't last anyways. I'm going to build a culture where we all clean up together, you know, at night before bed, you know, after dinner or whatever. And I'm going to make it so much fun and make memories with my kids. I'm going to choose the relationship over the system in a sense, but I'm still going to be building character and developing work ethic in my kids along the way. So I love that. Any other practical things or fun things you want to share, Mom, before we finish out this podcast for today?
The only thing I can think of is that if you are coming across a task that you just do not like, you know, like for me, sorting the laundry, or what I do not love unloading the dishwasher. I like loading it, but I don't like unloading it. Find the tasks that you like. Also know that there's tasks that your children don't like, and find the tasks that they like and don't like. And you guys figure out how to work together on that. I can't stand unloading it, but I'll load it. Great. I like to unload it. I'll do that. You know, I can't, mopping the floor is the worst. Oh, I love to mop the floor. And empower and equip those kids with the things that they want to do and that they're good at, and let them do those. Don't say, well, you mopped the floor yesterday, so you have to do a different task. No way. If they're good at mopping the floor, they can mop the floor every day for the rest of their life. And so I just want you to tune into yourself. What are your tasks and what are their tasks? And then if everybody hates unloading the dishwasher, that's when you say, okay, all right, short end of the straw. Everybody pick a number between 1 and 10, loser unloads the dishwasher, you know, type thing. So anyway,
yeah,
thanks, Nate.
And you could even use the practical of like, okay, you unload it today. And since there's 5 kids in the family, you won't have to unload it again for a whole week, you know, or you unload it today. And maybe that is a monetary chore. I'll give you $1 for the chores you don't want to do, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, so yeah, household work is so much bigger than just getting the work done. It's so much bigger. So yeah, press in, enjoy, teach your children worth ethic. All right, crazy cool families, we love you. We're so glad you're here. As Macy said, if you have any questions that you want us to answer that you're struggling with in your family, then we want to hear those questions. We want to answer them. We absolutely love empowering and equipping and encouraging you in your in the place where you are in your parenting today. So we just say go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.